The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mike Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Armchair Traveler. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from coasttocoast.com, the New York Times, the News and Observer, and time permitting, AAA Living Magazine. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, I want to remind you that neither the North Carolina Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles that we're going to be reading. These are selected simply for your enjoyment and edification. Well, how about some out-of-this-world travel to begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler? I came across this article in an email labeled from the Coast to Coast AM radio program, and it's an interesting travel story, so we're going to start there, okay? And it the web-based story is headlined, Mysterious X-37B Space Plane Returns to Earth After Record-Setting 908 Days in Orbit. It was posted November 14th and written by Tim Benall. The U.S. military's Mysterious X-37B has returned to Earth following a record-setting 908 days in orbit around the planet, though what it was doing for all that time largely remains a closely guarded secret. The curious unmanned craft reportedly touched down at NASA's Kennedy Space Center early Friday morning, that would have been November 11th, and was preceded by a pair of powerful sonic booms that rattled residents who were left scratching their heads until the source of the sounds was ultimately revealed. The landing marked the conclusion of the X-37B's sixth mission, which began when it was launched back in May of 2020. While details surrounding the X-37B mission are somewhat scant, a U.S. Space Force press release touting the craft's return gave some insight into some of the work that had been conducted during the 908 days it was orbiting the Earth. They revealed that one experiment aboard the space plane successfully harnessed solar rays outside the Earth's atmosphere and aimed to transmit power to the ground in the form of radio frequency microwave energy. Meanwhile, a NASA study utilizing the craft's marathon mission length looked at the effect of long-duration space exposure on seeds. The space plane's 908 days in orbit smashed the record previously set by the X-37B fifth mission. That lasted 780 days. Now, we wanted to gain some more details, so we went ahead and looked for the press release from the U.S. Space Agency, and this was published on November 12, 2022. And it's headlined, X-37B Orbital Test Vehicle Concludes Sixth Successful Mission. Dateline is the Kennedy Space Center, Florida. The X-37B Orbital Test Vehicle 6, or OTV-6, the U.S. Space Force's unmanned, reusable space plane, successfully deorbited and landed at NASA's Kennedy Space Center Shuttle Landing Facility on November 12, 2022 at 0522 a.m. or 0522 minutes, however you would like to say that. OTV-6 was the first mission to introduce a service module A-ring attached to the rear of the vehicle, expanding the number of experiments that can be hosted during a mission. This mission highlights the Space Force's focus on collaboration in space exploration and expanding low-cost access to space for our partners within and outside the Department of the Air Force, said General Chance Saltzman, Chief of Space Operations. The service module successfully separated from the OTV before landing, which is necessary activity due to the aerodynamic forces experienced by the X-37B vehicle upon reentry. In the coming weeks, the service module will be disposed of in accordance with best practices. Now, Secretary of the Air Force Frank Kendall said the deliberate manner in which we conduct on-orbit operations to include the service module disposal speaks to the United States' commitment to safe and responsible space practices, particularly as the issue of growing orbital debris threatens to impact global space operations. The OTV-6 mission hosted the Naval Research Laboratory's photovoltaic radio frequency antenna module. This experiment successfully harnessed solar rays from outside the Earth's atmosphere and aimed to transmit power to the ground in the form of radio frequency microwave energy. Additionally, the U.S. Air Force Academy's FalconSat 8, developed in partnership with Air Force Research Laboratory, was successfully deployed in October 2021. FalconSat 8 remains in orbit, providing Academy cadets unique hands-on experience as space operators prior to entering active duty. Multiple NASA experiments were deployed on OTV-6, the Materials Exposure and Technology Innovation in Space, METIS-2, included thermal control coatings, printed electronic materials, and candidate radiation shielding materials. METIS-1, which flew on OTV-5, consisted of similar sample plates mounted on the flight vehicle. NASA scientists will leverage data collected after the materials have spent 900-plus days in orbit and compare observed effects to ground simulations, validating and improving the precision of space environment models. Another NASA experiment aims to investigate the effect of long-duration space exposure on seeds. Scientists are interested in the seeds' resistance and susceptibility to space environment unique stresses, notably radiation. The seeds experiment will inform crop rate production for future interplanetary missions and the establishment of permanently inhabited bases in space. The X-37B continues to push the boundaries of experimentation, enabled by an elite government and industry team behind the scenes, said Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Fritchen, DAF Rapid Capabilities Office's X-37B Program Director. DAF is Department of the Air Force, of course. The ability to conduct an on-orbit experiment and bring them home safely for in-depth analysis on the ground has proven valuable for the Department of the Air Force and scientific community, he said. The addition of the service module on the OTV-6 allowed us to host more experiments than ever before. The sixth mission conducted on-orbit experiments for 908 days. It was interesting talking about the effects of space on seeds. I can vividly recall when I was a young lad, around 12 or so, which I won't date myself, but I will put it this way, many moons ago, and Boy's Life, which was in publication at that time, a magazine primarily read by Boy Scouts, it was interesting. They were talking about gardens in space and how to grow gardens in space. So, wow, interesting that they're still studying the effects of space on plants. Well, no doubt we're going to be hearing more about space travel in future episodes of Armchair Traveler. For now, let's get back to Earth. More specifically, let's head to North Dakota, the location of our next article. Geez, even Fargo has gone upscale. Danielle Braff is the author. This story, printed in the October 24, 2022 issue of the New York Times, and we have three photo captions that provide an overview of what we're going to find in our visit to Fargo. The first one says, visitors to the North Dakota town expecting a scene right out of the movie might be surprised by the James Beard-nominated chefs, pride flags, hipster boutiques, and craft breweries. Oh, and a museum dedicated to the bison, or buffalo. Then the next one reads, a city street scene. Dark buildings, dark blue sky, warm yellow street lamps, and a movie theater lit up in green neon, and the word Fargo running vertically down the marquee. The city of Fargo has poured millions into revitalizing its downtown, and these were all taken by Don Keck, who the author again was Danielle Braff. And now her article. Fargo, North Dakota doesn't have a great reputation, which is exactly why my 13-year-old and I decided to visit. Perhaps best known for Fargo, the Oscar-winning 1996 film noir by the Coen brothers about a kidnapping gone wrong, the movie ends with a body and a wood chipper. The city has been struggling to recover its reputation ever since. The TV series, inspired by the film, recently renewed for a fifth season, didn't help. My older daughter, Anya, and I spend our free time watching true crime documentaries and listening to the local police scanner. We're crime fanatics through and through, and I thought Fargo would be the perfect place for us to bond over gruesome wood chippers, potential body snatching, and all the gore that went into our favorite film. We had plenty of expectations. It would be a very sleepy community that says geez in every sentence, has lots of diners and lots of farmers. And while the police scanner in Fargo may not be very active, it could have had some interesting stories. Fingers crossed, we said. Well, we were wrong about everything. The draw for many tourists are the hockey and wrestling tournaments. The USA Wrestling Junior and 16U National Championships wrapped up here this summer, according to the Fargo-Moorhead Convention and Visitors Bureau. Other visitors stop by so they can check the city off their bucket list to travel to all 50 states. And then there are those like us and about 20% of other dark tourists who find themselves in Fargo because they're curious about the film or TV series, according to the Visitors Bureau. But anyone who spent time in Fargo over the past few years would notice that it's a far cry from the isolated farming community that produces canola oil and snows a ton and may or may not shove people into wood chippers. It's thanks to the efforts of Fargo officials and residents who were fed up with the way outsiders viewed their city, so they made a concerted effort to change their reputation. In 2001, North Dakota State University took over a vacated farm implement warehouse and dealership in the center of downtown and turned it into the university's architecture and visual arts department and the Tri-College University office. This move alone brought thousands more students and funding to the area, said Mike Allendinger, the president of Kilbourne Group, a redevelopment group based in Fargo. In 2002, the city launched a master redevelopment plan with projects spanning 15 years, including massive tax incentives, to reinvest in downtown Fargo and totally restore Broadway, the main downtown street. A 2017 plan outlined strategies to bring additional housing and businesses and to turn some streets into pedestrian walkways. The entire downtown, about 100 blocks, has been transformed from plot after plot of surface parking lots and vacant buildings to an area sporting boutique stores, James Beard award-winning restaurants, a popular university, and a community plaza. In the last 4 years, more than $300 million in public and private investments have reshaped Fargo. Fargo now looks like a mini-mix between Toronto and Madison, Wisconsin. It's filled with coffee shops, one-of-a-kind stores, local food, and bizarre attractions, perfect for a weekend visit. And my 13-year-old's verdict, it wasn't all crime-laden, sadly, but she was so focused on shopping that she nearly forgot to listen to the scanner. And speaking of shopping, Anya has shopped in Paris, London, and New York. And here's a sentence I never thought I'd write. She now prefers the stores in Fargo to those anywhere else in the world. They're relatively inexpensive, they're quirky, and you won't find duplicates anywhere else. Those looking for shopping could spend all day on Broadway. Downtown Fargo doesn't have chain stores, so Broadway is riddled with small boutiques selling everything from kitschy souvenirs to high-end clothing. Unglued Market on Broadway feels like Fargo's own Etsy. It carries jewelry, cards, stickers, candy, and candles, and a small selection of sweatshirts and baby clothing, and the majority are made by hand by local artisans. We picked up some locally made hot chocolate mix, stickers for my daughter's phone, and a postcard that reads, "Chipper Greetings from Fargo." Stop a few doors down at Kindred People, owned by a mother and daughter. The store sells the most adorable clothing, ranging from T-shirts with silly sayings, "You betcha," to high-end ripped jeans and accessories. Its sales selection is incredible, with many items marked down to $5. I got a T-shirt that says, "Mama Needs Coffee," which was approved by Anya, a rare thing indeed. She got a crop top that doubles as a doll T-shirt. When you're done with Broadway, head to Main Street, a 3-minute drive, where you'll find Mint and Basil, a teen young adult dream. Anya said it was her favorite store in the universe, well, except for Lululemon, obviously. From trendy ribbed tanks to home decor items to desk accessories, this is the type of store to go to when you want to treat yourself without spending a fortune. It feels like a very trendy stylist put together this shop, and it's a definite dopamine boost. How about some restaurants? Well, we come to Fargo expecting fried food, diners, and lots of meat. The chefs here had other things in mind. We were also out of place, in fact, that Anya had to return to Kindred People to purchase a new outfit so she'd be fancy enough for our dinners. One of the best Fargo restaurants is in a strip mall on the side of a quiet street, but this is just another surprise Fargo has in store. Luna Fargo on University Drive South was originally a coffee shop. It still looks like one, albeit one filled with the aroma of steak, polenta, and garlic. In 2015, the chef, Ryan Nitsky, and his business partner, Nikki Berglund, who also own and operate Nova Eatery, a food truck-style restaurant that opened in late September, and Soul Avenue Kitchen in Moorhead, a sister city of Fargo, and connected to Junkyard Brewing Company, which serves street food, turned the coffee shop into a full-service restaurant. Mr. Nitschke, a Fargo native, received a James Beard Best Chef in the Midwest nomination and two AAA Four Diamond Awards. The highlight of the menu is the cheese plate, which is large enough for two. It's stinky, varied, and comes with domestic and imported selections. The dinner menu rotates frequently, but everything is caught and killed and milked locally if possible. Get out of the strip mall and onto a rooftop in downtown Fargo. Fargo has a slew of new rooftop eateries, but 701 Eateries on University Drive North, which opened last year, stands out because its rooftop, called Camp Lone Tree, has a fireplace, curling, beanbag games, and truly excellent food. After grabbing some drinks and appetizers, head downstairs to 701 Eateries Prairie Kitchen, originally an old dairy, for Nordic cuisine and the best date night spot in Fargo. Anya and I spied tons of couples on first, third, and anniversary dates, along with groups of people celebrating work dinners and bachelorette parties. It was a scene. The fried Brussels sprouts are one of the best dishes you'll ever eat, and everyone needs to try the Romagro for a dessert, whether or not you have a hankering for a Scandinavian pudding or you've never heard of the dish. Or maybe you're craving a bagel with house-cured gravlax, lox, pickled fennel, and microgreens with a side of latke. You may assume this wouldn't be possible in Fargo, where the Jewish population is fewer than 1,000, and more likely closer to 400. The total population for Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo is 250,000. In 2019, there were 200,000 visitors. But as a Jewish New Yorker currently living in Chicago, I can now say that the best Jewish deli I've ever visited was Birnbaum's on Broadway, a five-year-old Jewish Scandinavian deli in downtown Fargo. Anya couldn't get over the fancy yet understated coffee and the bagels with rare types of fish piled high. One of Fargo's newest hotspots is Rosewild, and it resides with the uber-trendy new Jasper Hotel on Broadway. This is the place to see and be seen, but it's also the place to dine on Chef Jordan Hayes' creations. Mr. Hayes specializes in fermenting, smoking, curing, pickling, and this comes across in every dish. Anya and I obviously didn't spend much time visiting all of Fargo's breweries, but it was impossible to miss them as we strolled through downtown. Fargo Brewing Company on University Drive North is a favorite here, even for pups. They host many dog-friendly events, and their beer is distributed throughout the state and in other parts of the Midwest. Stop by their tasting room to try their staples, limited releases, and experiments. And then how about some adventure? An entire museum about the buffalo? You betcha. One of the best things to do in the area, technically about a 90-minute drive from Fargo, is Jamestown, to visit the one and only National Buffalo Museum, where you'll learn everything you never realized you wanted to learn about the American bison. There's also a 60-ton bison made out of cement, wow, which is nearly mandatory photo op because you'll most likely never see this again. North Dakota is also the second highest producer of sunflowers. South Dakota's the first. And peak sunflower season in August, though you can still find tons of sunflower fields in September. If you drive in any direction for about 15 to 20 minutes, you'll be sure to hit a sunflower field where they're in season. For a more structured sunflower hunt, check out the North Dakota Tourism Bureau's map. This was a total hit for my daughter, who took enough selfies to fill her Instagram and Snapchat stories for weeks. Luckily, we found a field where we were completely alone, so this wasn't too mortifying for me. And since you're in Fargo, you might as well pose next to the original wood chipper prop. Now, this is at the Fargo-Moorhead Visitor Center, located within a grain elevator. You could even pretend to push the fake leg into the chipper. There's also a signed original script. At the Plains Art Museum, in a relatively small repurposed international harvester warehouse, you'll find a mix of local, national, and international artists with a focus on contemporary Native American artwork. The museum offers tons of drop-in classes, from pottery to printing, which is especially enticing for kids who don't tend to enjoy simply staring at the art on the walls, not mentioning any names here. Fargo's cultural scene doesn't end with the art museum, however. Full of surprises, Fargo is the smallest city in America with a professional opera company, Fargo-Moorhead Opera. We visited in the off-season, so we couldn't attend, but this year's productions include The Marriage of Figaro and La Boheme, along with a one-act comedic opera called The Bon Appetit, based on Julia Child's TV show. Oh, and if you came here expecting to wander through all of Fargo's legendary filming locations, you're out of luck. The majority of Fargo was filmed in Minneapolis. Oh, jeez. Well, places to stay. We'll finish with that. A new shiny spot to stay in downtown Fargo opened in 2021, which is the talk of the town. The Jasper Hotel is a reflection of everything the new Fargo aims to be. Located on Broadway in the middle of the downtown, it feels like the ultimate boutique hotel. The pet-friendly hotel reflects a Scandinavian aesthetic and has floor-to-ceiling views of the city, serves free Stambino's coffee daily, and guests can wander downstairs to eat at the hotel's restaurant, Rosewild. Artwork by local artists adorn the walls, and Peloton bikes fill the fitness rooms. The hotel overlooks Broadway, where pride flags were displayed every few feet. Other hotel options include Radisson Blue Fargo and the Home to Suites by Hilton Fargo. Sleep tight. Don't let the chipper bite. She had fun, didn't she? Well, let's go south for our next destination and article. And this one's headlined, Hidden Surprises in Horse Cave, Kentucky. Kathy Witt of the Tribune News Service wrote this article. It appeared in the October 16, 2022 online issue of the News and Observer. And it has a caption with the photo that accompanies. It says, the main entrance to Hidden River Cave is off Main Street in downtown Horse Cave, Kentucky. Mammoth Cave National Park, a UNESCO World Heritage Site and International Biosphere Reserve located in south central Kentucky, recently made headlines for adding 6 miles to the world's largest cave system, which is now at 426 explored miles. A 25-minute drive away in tiny Horse Cave, Kentucky, another cave is newsworthy in its own right, is one of the world's few caves located directly beneath the town. Hidden River Cave is not only Kentucky's largest privately operated cave. It stretches out beneath Horse Caves downtown, a National Historic District, with an entrance located directly off Main Street. They include a website if you'd like to learn more and see some photos. It is Hidden River Cave. That's HiddenRiverCave.com. Play. Hidden River Cave is also home to the world's longest underground suspension bridge, swinging far above the river rushing below. Completion of the bridge in 2020 made it possible for guided tours to reach Sunset Dome and accessible to the public for 76 years. At 150 feet wide, 200 feet long, and 100 feet high, give or take, it is one of the largest freestanding cave domes in the United States, a sight to behold in glowing shades of red, yellow, and orange. Before hiking down the 200-plus steps into the cavern, and yes, you'll have to climb back up them on your way out, visitors can read about the history of the cave at the Free Admission American Cave Museum. Home of the American Cave Conservation Association, the museum offers self-guided tours of exhibits on karst geology, a landscape characterized by sinkholes, sinking streams, caves, and springs, as well as the archaeology of caves. Now, as far as where to stay, for a small town, population 2,400, Horse Cave has an unexpectedly delightful array of accommodations, including country cottage, vacation rentals, waterside campsites, and glamping options. At Horse Cave KOA Holiday, climb into the treetops for cozy overnights in a treehouse, and you can crawl into a Conestoga wagon or slip into a custom-built teepee, each one beautifully furnished and fully equipped, with Keurig coffee maker and refrigerator to private patio and fire pit, so lots of options there. More online for you at kygetaway.com/horse-cave-koa-holiday. Again, that's kygetaway.com/horse-cave-koa-holiday. Clean and comfortable and scenically situated, overlooking gently rolling hills and pastures, the campground also offers cabins and pull-through RV sites, beautiful new bathhouse, fishing pond, jump pillow, playground, and seasonal swimming pool. Now, how about places to eat? Besides its cave and Conestoga wagons, Horse Cave surprises with horse-drawn buggies seen hitched downtown and clip-clopping along rural roads. The town has a large Amish population and thriving Amish business landscape. In fact, Amish craftspeople constructed the treehouses and teepees at Horse Cave KOA Holiday, and one of the Horse Cave's most appealing restaurants, Farmwalls Restaurant and Bakery, is Amish-owned, and they have a website, farmwalls.com. That's spelled F-A-R-M-W-A-L-D-S, farmwalls.com. This rambling building with a country store setting is destination dining at its best. With freshly baked donuts, breads, and melt-in-your-mouth fried pies and made-to-order deli lunches like grilled ribeye and build-your-own cold-cut sandwiches, chicken baskets, and fish dinners. A gift shop spreads over half of the building, offering everything from local honey and jarred condiments to wooden toys and woven baskets to home decor and accessories spilling from shelves and adding charm to a seating area near the fireplace. Most of the items are handcrafted by the local Amish community. How about a treat? Horse Cave also has two different animal encounter experiences that pair perfectly for a family fun outing. At Dutch Country Safari Park, drive through aboard the hay wagon and bump along a dirt road through the wilds of Kentucky backcountry to see Watusi, water buffalo, camels, llamas, wildebeest, ostriches, and other animals. Feeding the animals is part of the fun, and these well-trained beasts will nose into the wagon to eat with extended hands or directly from the bowl. And you can check this safari park out at Dutch Country Safari Park, all one word, .com. That's DutchCountrySafariPark.com. Visitors to the Horse Cave's Australian Outback at Kentucky Down under Adventure Zoo discover they're at one of the few places in the country where it's okay to feed and pet the kangaroos. You can take selfies, too, and even nap with them. And online, you can learn more at KentuckyDownUnder.com. That's KentuckyDownUnder.com. We're the only place in Kentucky where you can get to close to Bigfoot. Kangaroos are micropods, or macropods, meaning they have big feet, said park spokesman Brian Dale. And we almost always have a batch of new joeys in and out of the pouch in the Outback. Interactive experiences are the big draw here, feeding parrots and lorikeets, mining for fossils and gemstones at the sluice, exploring scenic mammoth onyx cave, and watching animal shows that feature a dingo, porcupine, serval kitchen, woma python, or another one of the zoo's most beloved and intriguing residents. Explore the Outback by foot or on wheels with a rental of a 4- or 6-passenger golf cart. I bet that would be fun. Want to know more about this place? Well, just check it out at kygetaway.com. That's kygetaway.com to plan your adventure to Horse Cave, Kentucky. And that, my friend, is going to bring us to the end of today's journey on Armchair Traveler. We hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be joining us again next time. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and I remind you that the content of our program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Armchair Traveler is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. Now, comments and questions can be directed to 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.